Bibles with you this morning, we're going to start out in the book of Matthew chapter 5. And what we're going to get to eventually here, we're going to get to, we are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. And Jesus told this to his disciples. And so when we look through this teaching that I'm going to give you here this morning, this preaching that I'm going to give you here this morning, I don't want you to stop and to think, well, this was just for his disciples. It has nothing to say to us today. Who are his disciples? These were his literal disciples that he was sitting down with. And this was the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And we read those first 12 verses, and that's where the Beatitudes are. And if you're like me, you have read those in the past. And as you read those, it almost in our minds can become sort of an optional thing. If I do this, then I'm going to be blessed. If I do this, then I'm going to be blessed. But if I don't do it, I just ain't going to receive the blessing. It's not that big of a deal. Well, it is a pretty big deal. God wants us to live by these Beatitudes, as they're called. And then he goes on, as soon as he finished them, and then he goes on, I'm just giving you a synopsis here, and then we'll go through it more slowly. Then, as he finished telling them these Beatitudes, then he looked right at them, and he said, you are the light of the world. You are the ones who these Beatitudes are going to be lived through. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. People aren't going to know these things unless they see them living in you. And so I would say the Beatitudes, as Christ presented them to his disciples here, and we're going to read these first 12 verses so we can get the setting, he wasn't giving them as an option to them. Because you read those, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Oh, that's nice and good. Well, if we're a disciple of Christ, we are going to be mournful over certain situations, and we're going to be comforted. And as we go through these and just read them this morning, and then we'll get into what we're really going to talk about, I want you to think about the setting that this was given in. And then immediately after, he goes into the words about the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And these things are going to shine through us. Father, bless the reading of your word today. God, give us understanding. God, Lord, let us realize that we are the salt of the earth, that we are the light of the world. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So beginning in Matthew chapter 5, just verse 1, and it won't take us long to read these. They're short, quick verses, but listen to what he was saying. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. So these were his disciples that he was telling his whole sermon to. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. So as believers, these things that I just read to us here this morning are not an option for us. If we are the disciples of Christ, and you can go back and you can do an exhaustive study on these, and I think it would be a good thing if you would do that to get a more thorough understanding, because we're just going to skim the surface of this today. But it said, blessed are the poor in spirit. We are to be poor in spirit. Study it out to see what that means. Blessed are they that mourn. We are to be mourners. We are to mourn. Blessed are the meek. We are to be meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. We as his disciples are to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Number 7, we as his disciples are to be merciful. How merciful are you? If you ever had mercy shown to you, you appreciated that. You didn't forget that. Think about the times that you did something. You were growing up at home and you did something. You knew that you could get a severe judgment for that, a severe discipline, but your parents were merciful to you. You're speeding down the highway. You're going 75, 80 miles an hour in a 55 zone, and you get pulled over, and the officer just gives you a warning. He was merciful. merciful to you.
Yeah.
We as children of God, we are to be merciful. We are to be merciful. It's not an option. We are to be merciful. And then there's benefits that go with these. I'm not reading those this morning. So we are to be merciful. Blessed are the, we are to be pure in heart. We're to be genuine. What you see is what you get. I don't live one way this day and another way another day. I don't live one way in this place and live a different way in another place. I'm pure in heart. God wants us to be pure in heart. Number 9, we are to be peacemakers. Over the children of God, we are to be peacemakers, not troublemakers, not adding fuel to the fire. We're there to bring peace into the situation. If you're going to be a peacemaker in any situation, another one of these Beatitudes that's going to go hand in hand with it, you're going to have to be a merciful person. You're going to have to be a merciful person, because it's not always easy to be the one that's the peacemaker. Somebody's throwing jabs at you. It's a natural inclination to throw a jab back at them. But we're children of God. We are merciful. We are peacemakers. And then blessed are they, the next one, which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You will be persecuted for living this Christian life. There will be persecution that comes your way. If there's no persecution coming your way, are you really living the Christian life? And I'm not talking about the, and it could be that, but I'm not referring just to the kind of persecution as we have the books out back, the persecuted Christians. There's people that are giving their lives. There are people that have already probably died this day because of their faith in Jesus Christ. That is persecution, but we are persecuted. You're going to be persecuted. People are not always going to see eye to eye with you because of your belief in God's word. They're not going to do it. And then it says you're going to be blessed when men will revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. They're just going to put you in a box and say all Christians are no good. All Christians, they don't have love. All Christians are hypocritical. Well, all Christians are human. But people will do this. You're going to have this persecution coming your way. They're going to revile you, make fun of you. They're going to say evil against you falsely. And then what are we supposed to do in all of this? We're supposed to rejoice and be not just glad, but be exceedingly glad. Be exceedingly glad if you're not liked, if you're frowned upon, if you're called a fanatic, if you're called a holy roller, if you're called whatever it is, amen, if you're called insane, if you're called weak because you have to believe in a God, whatever it is that they say to you, it says we are to be exceedingly glad when people begin to jab at us and say things and speak evil against us falsely. Amen. And people do that. For great is your reward in heaven, because they persecuted the prophets which were before you. So he said that to the disciples. And now how do we know he wants them to live this? And it goes right into what I want to talk about this morning in verse 13. He was saying it to the disciples, but he's saying it to us. Ye are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of Kane, Pennsylvania. You are the salt in your house. Did you ever get in a conversation with somebody and it's a manner of expression, if we use it this way? We'll say, well, I'm just going to stop. I'm going to pour a little bit of salt in that wound. You know, I'm going to tell you how it really is. It's a touchy subject and situation, but I'm going to tell you exactly why that's going on. We are the salt of the earth. It's an important thing. We're going to look at that extensively. But if the salt have lost his savor, it loses its flavor. Wherewith shall it be salted? The salt of the earth. If we as Christians lose our flavor, if we have, as Christians, begin to have no effect upon this world, what are we good for? We're good for nothing, it says here. But it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. God wants us to be salty. I want to be a salty Christian. You're going to understand this a little bit better by the time that I get through this morning. And then he went on. Another analogy that he gave them is the next three verses. Then he said, ye are. Just because you're my followers, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. They're going to see these beatitudes working in you. And it's going to be like rubbing salt in a wound. They're not going to like that you're so meek. They're not going to like that you're so humble. They're not going to like that you're so merciful. Amen. They're not going to like that you're a peacemaker. And all of those beatitudes, and it's going to rub it into, rubbing it in their face just by living it. You're not saying, look at me, I'm better than you, but you're showing them how God wants men to live. You're the light of the world. Amen. You are the light of the world. It can't be hid. A city on a hill cannot be hid. If you have Jesus Christ living inside of you, it can't be hid. Oh, I know I told the story probably 10 times at least, maybe more than that. A young man many years ago went to work in a logging camp. And when they went to these logging camps, they would go out into the forest, wherever they were cutting that timber, and they would stay out there for about 30 days at a time. And he was a Christian boy, and he's young, and his mama was a little worried about him because men in those logging camps, they're brutal. They like their alcohol. They like their wild living. And that's what they would do in the evenings. And she was greatly concerned about her son going into that environment, but they needed some kind of an income. And so he went to that camp, and he came home. And while he was there, she's praying for him. God, give him the power to stand. It'll stay faithful to you. And when he came back home, she goes, son, how did you make out in that logging camp? Did you do okay? He said, I guess I did okay, Mom. Nobody there ever knew I was a Christian. Is that letting his light shine? Is that being the salt of the earth? He should have been a thorn in their flesh. He should have been the light to them to show them a better way. Are we any different in this world that we live in? Are you leaving a testimony in this world? Are you leaving a footprint in this world that this is how people should walk? Not that I'm perfect, but we're going to look at some scriptures here. And Paul even told people, he said, I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. That Christ that you see in me, I want you to want that. I want you to live that way. And so we are the salt of the world. There is a clear distinction between us and the world. Let's finish this 15:16. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. What do they do with that candle? They put it on a candlestick, and it'll give light to all that are in the house. You don't light a candle and set it in a corner somewhere and hide it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. They're going to see those beatitudes working in you, and then they're going to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. It's going to bring glory to God. So there is a clear distinction between us and the world. Amen. In these first 12 verses we read here, Jesus was giving the basic attitude that believers are to have. Read through those Beatitudes this week. That's the attitude. That's the behavior that we're supposed to have as Christians. Remember what I said? Even myself growing up, I would look at these and thought, it's sort of optional. Well, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, that's good. If I'm a meek person, I'm going to inherit the earth. God wants us to be meek as Christians. And you can take all those beatitudes and look at them. Those who live godly. Amen. Those who live godly and the blessings that will be given them are in the Beatitudes. There's going to be blessings that are given. Amen. The disciples, he was speaking to them and he's speaking to us. We are to live as examples of Christ. Christ isn't here today. I can't see what he does in any given situation. I don't know how he would react, but yet I do know by the Spirit that lives within me. So Paul, in his writings, he encouraged his co-laborers to have good conduct and to follow him as he followed Christ. And that's in Philippians 3:17. He said, brethren, be followers together. He's saying, follow my example, be together followers of me, and mark them and note them which walk as ye have us for an example. Be ye followers of me. I want you to act like I act. Could you safely say that to anybody today? I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. As I'm following Christ, the things that I do, I want you to do. Or are there some things in your life that you wouldn't want other people to do? Maybe you're not that peacemaker that God wants you to be. Being meek is a hard thing. Because if somebody comes comes against you, to be meek is just to back down and to turn the other cheek and to go the second mile for them. And that's not human inclination. That's not our instinct. We're not built that way in our flesh. It's hard to be meek. But by being meek, amen, we are living that example. And then if people see meekness in us, follow me as I follow Christ. And Paul could safely say that. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. These things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Could you say that to other people? Well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a prophet. I don't want people to follow me. If you're a follower of Christ, you're one of his disciples. You're sending a message to those people that are in your lives. And Paul here said, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, I want you to do them. And so this morning, as we're thinking about this, is there something in your life that you wouldn't want other people to pick up on? You wouldn't want them to react in the way that you react in certain situations. We need to change those things. Amen. Because we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are showing this world how to live. And the condition that this world is in right now, we say, well, it's in such a sad condition. There's just no hope for it. And it's getting worse and worse every day. I'll say to you this morning, I'll say this. The reason the world's going the way that it's going is because there's not enough salt in this world. And who is the salt of this world? We are, as believers. There's not enough Christian witness being given in this world. Not enough people are standing up for what God wants and what God says. We cower down and we back down. Yeah, but preacher, didn't you just tell me we're supposed to be meek and we're supposed to be peacemakers, but we have to stand up for the righteousness of God's word. And we're studying the book of Acts in Sunday school. Amen. This quarter that we're in, and those people, they stood up for what God says. Amen. It's not what I say, but if God says it, then we believe it. And we need to be teachers of it. The 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 7 says this, follow us. Follow us. And I'm rephrasing. It says, follow us. We behaved in an orderly way. We're doing things in an orderly way. And then verse 9 there says, make ourselves as examples unto you to follow us. We are to be living examples that people should be able to follow you. And there is somebody in this world right now that is watching you that wants, and you might say, oh, don't say that about me. There's somebody watching every one of us that wants to be just like you are. They're watching you from a distance, and they're admiring you and thinking, wow, they're really something. I want to be just like they are. That should scare us a little bit, because I don't think anybody in here could honestly say, I want somebody out there to do and just be everything that I am, because we know our own shortcomings. God designed us to be salt. He wants us to be salt. He said that in verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. And that goes to us today. Whether you like it or not, you belong to Jesus. Jesus, you're the salt of the earth. In this verse, in this passage here, verses 13 through 16, it tells us what God expects. It tells us what people expect. And it gives our responsibility to fulfill this expectation. And it tells what our influences upon this world will be. Jesus said, you are. Many eyes are watching you. You proclaim the name of Christ, they're watching you. They're watching you. Have you ever had, and I think it's the most hurtful words that can be said to a Christian, because there are times that we all fall short and we all goof up and we all make a mistake, and then to have somebody come by and say, and you're a Christian? It's like, oh man, right in the heart. You don't say that to them, but you're thinking, you're right. I didn't do so well there. I reacted in a way that wasn't pleasing to God. I let my carnal flesh take over, and I just gave them a piece of my mind and told them the way I thought it was. And it's, Lord, forgive me and move on. Many eyes are watching you. Some of those eyes that are watching you, they admire you. Some of those eyes that are watching you, they imitate you. Amen. Some of those eyes that are watching you, they're envying you. Amen. For different various reasons. Maybe because of the abilities and talents that you have. Maybe because of the place that you live in, the job you have. Maybe because your life seems so put together. We know it's not, but people look from the outside in. They seem to really have it together. Some of those eyes are envying you, and some of those same eyes that are looking at you, they hate you. Amen. And some of those eyes that are looking at you are jealous of you, and they'll do anything they can to belittle you, to make you look like you're a nobody and you're a nothing. Amen. Why did Jesus use the word salt to describe us? Amen. To describe his followers. What? Let's look at salt. Salt is something essential for man. How would you like to have a saltless diet? If you like processed foods, you'd be in trouble. Processed foods, meaning foods that are pretty much prepared. You take them home and throw them in the nuke or in the oven, and you're good to go. How many like ramen noodles? You don't got to raise your hand. Man, they're full of salt. My grandson got his hand up over here. Amen, they're full of salt. What would ramen noodles be like without salt? They wouldn't be very good. What would this world be like without salt? It wouldn't be very good. Salt is something essential for man. And salt is easy to identify. It's white and it has a taste to it. It has a very distinct taste. I've been in different settings where too much salt's been put into food. And if too much salt is in something, it's nauseating. If we put too much salt into this world as Christians and we're too overzealous, it's nauseating to the world. They can't stand your message. Then that's where they come out and say, and then we think, oh, we're being persecuted for Christ's sake. We're being persecuted because of being overzealous, because of our ignorance. You can't push what you have on this world. Too much salt's not a good thing. It's horrible. We was at church camp one year, and an old-time cook was over there. I think it was Sister Linda might remember. I had a little taste of it, but I think it was a stew that she made. When she was making it, she was an excellent cook. She worked in a restaurant somewhere back in the days when they had home cooking, not where you have Cisco bringing it around or this other one from up in Jamestown, can't think of their name right now, that come into this area and all these prepared foods. She had to make it from scratch. And then people went to eat it. One little bite, it's like, wow. What went on? Then the truth came out. She was making that, and when she went to pour the salt in, somehow the thing opened up and all the salt went in. So she took a bunch of salt out. She thought she got enough salt out of there, but she didn't get enough salt out. Nobody could even eat that stew that she made. It was so salty. It was so nauseating. And so it is in this world. If we give too much of Jesus to this world, it's nauseating to them. Then we turn around and say, they don't want Jesus in their lives, but yet we know they need Jesus because we're giving them too much of it at one time. Amen. He who winneth souls is wise. Amen. Just little by little. We have to give them enough. And if you give people just enough salt, what does it do? It makes them thirsty. You eat so, oh, my one son, I don't understand him. He will not eat ham. He thinks it's the worst meat in the world, but he eats bacon. I don't understand that. To me, it tastes the same. But if you eat a good ham dinner, and Easter's coming up, and traditionally at Easter time, people have ham. So that's why we do these different things at different holidays. But you'll eat that ham dinner, it goes down so good. But you'll find yourself the rest of the day just drinking water, and drinking water, and drinking water, and drinking water. It's because of that salt that was in there. But if you give people in this world just enough salt to make them thirsty for this God that you're serving, they're going to come and they're going to want to drink from the waters that never run dry. They're going to want to come to that well that Jesus talked about when he met that woman at the well. He gave her just enough salt. He just made her thirsty enough that she wanted what this Jesus was talking about. Amen. By God's wisdom, we can do that. We can just give them enough salt that they want what we got. They don't know what it is that we got. If they knew, as the world says, if they knew it was religion that we had, they wouldn't want that. But we just seem to have it so together. We just seem to have it going on. We just seem to be happy all the time. Even when things are going bad in your life, they just seem to have it together. They just have something that holds them together. That's putting salt into this world. Salt makes people thirsty. Amen. How are we to be salt? Amen. We are to be holy. Amen. This is putting salt, just enough salt into this world. 1 Peter chapter 1, amen, verses 15 and 16. I'm summarizing these. He who called you is holy. Be holy in all conduct. Be ye holy, for I am holy. You, by living a holy, separated life, it's just enough salt that it gets your attention. They're like, wow, I like that. I like the way that person lives. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow, which means pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Amen. In the brightness of what we have, then Jesus switched in the light. We become a light onto this world. There's something different about us. We stand out in this world. John chapter 5 and verse 35. Jesus was a burning and a shining light, but they rejected that light. Are you a burning and a shining light to this world? And I'm not saying these, some people we think, well, they're a burning and shining light to this world because their car is nothing but bumper stickers. Their shirts and their hats are nothing but Jesus symbols and things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your conduct. It says all manner of conversation, which is your conduct. The way that you conduct yourself in this world, you are a burning and a shining light. How is it burning? Because they got something that I need. They got something that I want. John 8:12, Jesus is the light of the world. And then this goes on in verses 14 through 16. A city, the city can't be hid. We know that the city can't be hid. A city is known by its beauty. I don't know if the Oaks has had the opportunity of getting up above the mountain of La Vega at nighttime, up that steep mountain, and look down on the city. When you're right down on La Vega, it doesn't look so wonderful. But you get up there on that mountain at nighttime, and you look down on there, you can see the lines of street lights. Or if you've ever flown in an airplane and you're flying at nighttime and you fly over those cities or coming into them, even New York City looks beautiful from the sky at night. And it's not such a beautiful place, but it's like, wow, it's a beauty to behold. You can't hide a city. We are to be known by the beauty that we have. Amen. There's something beautiful about us. Amen. There's something special about us that people want what we have. Salt is collected from the sea. And when we was down in the Dominican Republic, up in Monte Cristi, I almost wasn't remembering the name of the town. They pull that water from the sea. I don't know how the process works, but they pull water from the sea and they're able to make sea salt. Some of you people, when you go to the store and buy your salt, you just don't want salt with iodine in it. You seek out that sea salt, that special salt. I don't know how they do it, but salt's collected from the sea. And as salt, we have been taken and removed from our sin nature through salvation. We have been taken out of that sea of sin, out of that dark life. We've been taken out. And then, whenever salt is pulled out of the sea, there is water in it. And that water then is evaporated out of that salt, and it becomes a pure, dry salt. And the analogy that we have there, amen, in us, sin is removed through the blood. And then there's a sanctification that goes on by the renewing of the mind. When you first gave your heart to God, you were as saved then as you are now. But there were things in your life that just weren't quite pure. When they pulled that water, that salt out of the sea and collected it, had all that water in it, it was as salty as salt could be. It was as true as salt could be. But as that water evaporated in it, then we ended up with a pure salt. Amen. And so in our lives, we end up becoming more pure and more holy for God as we let God work in our lives. And then we have the qualities of salt here. And we'll just go over these real quickly and we'll be finished up here this morning. So what's salt used for? And think about, you're the salt of the world. Salt, natural salt, is used for seasoning. Brings out the taste in food. If you don't think it does, maybe you don't even do it anymore. Maybe you just use that instant stuff. But if you cook potatoes, don't put any salt in them when you're cooking them. And eat those potatoes. And then cook some potatoes and put salt. Anybody ever buy those little bags of potatoes they have now? It's little tiny bags of, you know, little tiny potatoes. And you put them in there. And there's a big pack of salt that you dump in that water. And you boil those little potatoes in that salt. You can't eat enough of those. It's like, oh, it doesn't sound good, maybe the way I'm explaining it, but you try those things, and it's like so delicious. Those potatoes taste like no potato I ever ate. Put some butter, melt some butter over them, and the little potatoes, the skins are still on. They're the most wonderful thing. So salt brings out the taste in food. We as Christians are to improve the taste of life. The taste of life with the people that we meet in our life, in the people that we have contact with. We're happy, supposedly for no reason. They look at us and don't understand us. That's the salt coming out of us. Amen. The salt coming out of us. There was some salt that came out, amen, of the disciples, as in Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. as they prayed for Dorcas. Amen. You'll have to read the story and see who Dorcas was. But she was a man. She was a man. Yeah, she was a woman that feared God. And she died, and God restored her back to life. They was letting the salt that was in them come out of them. It was seasoning. Salt is used to preserve. Amen. Food is preserved with salt. We preserve. We preserve our nation. We preserve our community. We preserve our neighborhoods. We preserve our families through prayers of intercession. That's the salt that we put into it. Remember what I was talking about. This world and the way that it's going, and we think our country's lost and without hope. It's because we're not putting that salt into it like we should. There's a story told of a little boy years ago. They didn't have refrigeration like we have now, so they would take their pork. And if you know anything about pork, you don't want to eat spoiled pork. That's not a good thing. And so this little boy's job was to take that pork, and they would cut it up into chunks, and he would have to lather it with salt till his hands were sore. Sore, rubbing that salt into that meat the best he could, rubbing it in so that meat could be hung in a shed somewhere. And then when they had a special guest come, they could go out and get a chunk of that meat and bring it in, and it would taste good. They would cook it. Well, on one such occasion, mother sent him out to get a chunk of beef, a chunk of pork, and he brought that in, and he was looking at it, and it looked good to him. And mother, now don't get sick here. If you've got a weak stomach, you might want to plug your ears. I'm not trying to make anybody sick. But mama started working on that piece of pork, and all of a sudden, out come crawling a bunch of maggots.
Uh-oh.
And he thought, oh my, I'm in trouble. My mother's going to knock me into next week because I was the one that was supposed to preserve that. And you know what she said to him? She said, son, there just wasn't enough salt in there. This world that we're living in, why is it in the condition that it's in? There's not enough salt in it. We are the salt of the earth. There's not enough of Jesus in this world. That's not God's fault. That's our fault. We have to take personal responsibility to it. In our world that we live, the people that we have connections with, the families that we're from, we're the ones that's put the salt into them. So in your families, if ugliness in your relationships, if ugliness and maggots start crawling out, it's because there's not enough salt in there. Get some more salt in there. Amen. How do we get that salt in there? We get that in there through prayers of intercession. Salt is used for purification. I don't know how it works. Maybe someday somebody can explain this to me. My father had a water purifying system in his house, and it used salt. I still don't know how that works. It ran a couple times a day, and during those times when that was working, you didn't want to take water from the tap system because it had a salty taste to it. We run into that on a few occasions when we get up at 4 o'clock in the morning because we were all crazy and ready to go hunting and eating that big breakfast. And they would take that water out and make the pot of coffee with it, and we'd start to drink the coffee. We couldn't even drink the coffee because the water was salty. But salt is used to purify water. And what do? We are to purify this world by the preaching of the gospel to the unsaved. Amen. Telling them that there's a better way. Telling them that there's a Jesus that cares. Telling them that they don't have to live the way that we're living. Salt is used in medications. Amen. Salt is used to heal wounds. Salt is used for stomach upset. Amen. Salt is used. What do? We bring God's healing power to the world. We demonstrate God's power to this world. Amen. Salt heals wounds. That message that we have can heal the brokenhearted. It can set the captive free. It's not us, but it's that salt of the gospel coming out of us. Salt leaves an impression. I haven't been back out since I came in this morning, but I spread a little bit of salt out there on the sidewalk. And when some of you came in today, you might have noticed, hey, nobody had to tell you. You know that somebody was out here and threw a little bit of salt because it left an impression. When I put it out there, it did what it was set to do. Amen. And so we are to leave an impression on this world. And how do we leave an impression on this world? It's by our conduct in this world. We don't do what everybody does. We don't act like everybody does. We don't react like everybody does because we're different. Amen. Your conduct is important in spreading the gospel. Come on, almost done here. We're going upstairs, so don't get nervous. Amen. Your conduct is important in spreading the gospel. And your conduct is important in spreading the gospel at home, at work, in your neighborhood, in all of your activities. Amen. Should be done through God's leading. God, lead me and guide me. I don't want to let my guard down. That one time that you mess up is going to be the time that somebody notices it. You're going to be like, oh, why did you have to notice that? I didn't say that. I didn't go that way. We are to constantly equip and fortify ourselves with the knowledge of God's word. And how do we do that? We fortify ourselves through the word of God, through the prayers that we pray. And in finishing up this morning, salt's a powerful thing, but salt can lose its intended effect. Salt can lose its intended effect. I've yet to find salt that don't taste like salt. I'd be disappointed if I found it. In fact, salt's so important. I just have to add this little story in on my years at the Lutheran home working up there. There was a gentleman in there one time. I know I've told the story to somebody before. I believe he's 104 years old. He carried a little satchel with him. He was on a low salt diet. But you know what he had in his satchel? A salt shaker. Salt shaker. I lived this long. Nobody's taken salt away from me. Huh? Because salt doesn't lose its power. Salt can lose its power if it's contaminated, if it has impurities in it. And we can be contaminated through association and environment. We got to be careful. We're in this world, but not of this world. We don't want to become contaminated by this world, because then we lose our saltiness. If we do what everybody does and go where everybody does and talk like everybody talks, what difference is there between us and them? There is no difference. We lose our saltiness. Saltiness. Amen. You can be contaminated through association. Amen. Evil communications corrupt good manners. They corrupt good habits. Evil communications. If all of your best friends are unsaved people, you need to go to work on that. Yes, you can be friends with them. God wants us to be, so we can let our light shine. But if we're just friends with them, we're soon going to start acting like them. And the lastly I have here today, another way that salt loses its intended effect is by backsliding. The salt loses its saltiness. It's no good for nothing. And the word tells us in Matthew 5:13, it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled by men under your feet. Don't lose your saltiness. Are you salty today? Are you salty today? Sometimes we can be salty in a different kind of way. Boy, that was a salty thing you said to me. Not insulting, but that was salty. That had some power packed in it. We need to be salty to this world. Just enough so that they want what we have. Sister Bonnie, come down to the music. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We're going to sing that song. I want to live so God can use me anytime, oh Lord, anywhere. How salty are you today? Some people, I'm just going to reiterate, overzealous, they're too salty for this world. If you take people and you take this word of God and just cast it out to this world, it's too salty for them. They can't digest it. They'll reject it. It's just too much. Don't be too salty, but yet be salty enough. And then we'll sing this and you just pray, God, help me, show me how I can be salty to those that are around me. Just get enough salt out there that they want this Jesus that I have. Amen. I want to live so God can use me. Amen. I'll let God speak to you this morning.